And every now and then this summer, we're going to take a break from the news and get out to a lake. According to the EPA, there are over 120,000 of them in the U.S. Wikipedia has an amazing state-by-state list. Hey, a shout-out to everyone at Lake Strom Thurmond, which straddles Georgia and South Carolina. But as many lakes as there are many more lake memories. For me, there's the lily pad strangled lake on Long Island where I had my first terrifying snipe hunt at Girl Scout Camp Edie. There was learning to stand up paddleboard on a lake in Utah. My first pontoon on Lake Winnebago in Missouri. I think it's man-made. Water skiing on Lake George in upstate New York. If you have time to get away this summer, why not find a lake? Let's start our look at lakes with suggestions. What cool blue pools might be hiding or in plain sight in your area? Joe Yogerst is our guide. He's a travel writer, editor, and photographer, author of the recent National Geographic book, 50 States, 5,000 Ideas, Where to Go, When to Go, What to See, What to Do. He joins us from UC San Diego. Joe, welcome.
Thank you very much, Robin.
Okay, you're going to launch a million debates here, but what do you think is the best lake for swimming?
Oh, you know, I'm prejudiced when it comes to Western lakes because that's what I grew up with. Mm-hmm. And I have to say my favorite is Lake Mead, which is on the border between Nevada and Arizona, because I've been going there since I was a little kid, and some of my best lake memories are from there. But most of all, when it comes to swimming, I like warm water. And Lake Mead in the summer, it's like swimming in a bathtub.
Well, you know, people, I can hear people in upstate New York, you know, Saranac Lake, Lake George, saying, what, warm water? Or in Vermont, you know, where
sure.
Going into a lake involves that first plunge into the frigidness. But Lake Mead is warm.
And Lake Mead is the only place where you can float on your back and stare up at the walls of the Grand Canyon.
Tell us more about that.
Well, a lot of people don't know that Lake Mead backs up into the western part of the Grand Canyon. So in my college days, we used to rent houseboats and take it up into the Grand Canyon and sit there and play Trivial Pursuits at night and go swimming in the day. And I have very distinct memories of just floating on my back, looking up at the amazing walls, thinking, this is like the perfect place, perfect time, one of those moments.
That's, I think, what makes a lake great, if you have those memories. So go out and make them this summer. The National Park Service, by the way, calls Lake Mead America's most diverse national recreation area because of everything that you can do there. Talk about which you think, though, are the best wilderness lakes in the lower 48.
Yellowstone Lake, which is in Yellowstone National Park, and Lake Superior, which I just love also. And I think it's one of the great underutilized natural resources in this country, Lake Superior. It's huge. It's almost so big it's like a sea or an ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And it's surrounded by wilderness and amazing parks. Isle Royale National Park, which is in the middle of the lake. Pictured Rocks and Apostle Islands National Seashores, which are on the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And it's surrounded by great cities like Duluth, Minnesota, Superior, Wisconsin. And there's also great wildlife.
Like what?
Well, the wolves of Isle Royale. It's one of the one places in the lower 48 where the wolves never disappeared from because they were basically protected by this island in the middle of Lake Superior where they weren't bothering livestock or farmers and no one was troubling them. So they managed to survive.
We read, it is by surface area the largest lake in the world, contains as much water as the other great lakes combined, plus three Lake Eries. I visited a part once called Old Woman Bay, and I remember, you know, being from the East Coast, where I was used to lakes where voices echoed from the other side, being astonished at how big it was. You know?
Yes.
And there was this vastness. Let's move a little further south. Lake Martin in Louisiana. Why is that on your list?
I spent a couple of days roaming around the middle of Louisiana looking for gators, and I finally found them at Lake Martin, and I found a lot of them, as in hundreds of them, and they were close enough to reach out and touch from the boat, although I obviously didn't do that. But this, the wildlife in general there, it's not a large lake, but it's very well preserved with giant cypress trees coming up out of the water and wetlands all around, amazing bird life, turtles, fish, snakes, frogs, and a lot of gators.
But you're not water skiing there.
No, no, no. I mean, you can still fish on the lake. No water skiing. You pretty much have to go to Florida for that. The lakes around Orlando are amazing for wakeboarding, water skiing.
And now we're going to zip way up north. Lake Champlain, Vermont, New York, Burlington, Vermont there. Just beautiful. But also,
yes.
This is a great place if you're traveling in the summer with kids for a history lesson.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's kind of our forgotten war, the War of 1812, and a lot of it was fought on lakes, on Lake Michigan, Huron, Erie, Ontario, and Lake Champlain. The Battle of Lake Champlain, which happened in September of 1814, was actually a sea battle between the British Navy and a kind of an impromptu fleet of American ships that was built and launched on the lakeshore. And even though the British Royal Navy was a lot more experienced, the American sailors actually beat them in the Battle of Lake Champlain and foiled an entire invasion attempt to come down the Champlain Valley into the Hudson Valley and split the colony, well, the states at that point in half. So you have interpretive centers and museums about the War of 1812 on both sides of Lake Champlain today.
Well, we should note it's also called the Battle of Plattsburgh, just so we don't hear from everyone in Plattsburgh, New York. And by the way, while at Lake Champlain, you can drop down to Fort Ticonderoga.
You can.
Yeah.
You can drop down to Ticonderoga, and if you want to keep going south down to Saratoga Battlefield, which is on a river rather than a lake, but there's a lot of history through that whole corridor, not to mention the fact that you can go to the home of Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream, which is on shores of Lake Champlain.
And they were also involved in the War of 1812. talk about, because we're going to be hearing from people who have that small lake that maybe, small enough that their family is the only one who knows about it. We want to hear those thoughts from people. But you mentioned Treasure Lake in Oklahoma and Trout Glen Pool in Missouri. Why?
Because they're very small, obscure little lakes, but both of them are gorgeous in their own way. Wichita Mountains National Wildlife Refuge really should be a national park, in my opinion. And Treasure Lake is in the middle of it. There's three lakes in the National Wildlife Refuge, and this is the most obscure one that you have to drive and then hike to. And it's just one of those wow moments when you get to the top of the trail and you look down upon this lake that's surrounded by these red rock cliffs, and you just don't expect it to be there the first time, and it really is a wow moment. Trout Glen Pool in Hahatonka State Park in Missouri, it's a tiny little branch of Lake of the Ozarks. The reason I like it is that it seems to have 20 different shades of blue, all within about a 100-yard range. It's just a gorgeous little lake that you can hike around. And if you really want to recreate, you cross a little isthmus, and the giant Lake of the Ozarks is right there. But yeah, they're both small, obscure little lakes, which I think only local people mostly know about. But I happen to
come
across
you.
Both of them. Well, yeah, maybe they are, yes.
It'll be a new sound. Lake? What lake? The little sign posted at the path now. Okay, here come your fighting words. In your opinion, you say Lake Tahoe in California is the most beautiful lake.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I'm prejudiced about West Coast or Western lakes because that's what I grew up with. Lake Tahoe is just amazing, summer or winter, but I think it's especially beautiful in the winter with that mantle of snow all around. And it doesn't freeze over much because it's such a deep lake, but you get some ice around the edge, and it's just that kind of winter fairy tale.
Yeah. And you already said that another lake that you have childhood memories about is Lake Mead. But what's another, maybe one of the first lakes you ever visited, one that really stays with you?
Well, really the first true lake that I visited was Crater Lake in Oregon on a very early family driving vacation. I remember just being fascinated by Crater Lake, not because of the lake itself, but because of Wizard Island in the middle. This was long before Harry Potter, but I still had ideas about, there's a wizard? Is there a wizard that lives there? Is it a good wizard, a bad wizard? Does he have magical powers?
And what did you find out?
Well, I didn't find out anything because no one could tell me about the wizard. I was also fascinated by it as a child because of how deep it was. Because in those days, the standard for height was not a skyscraper in Dubai. It was still the Empire State Building. And I was just blown away by the fact that you could put the entire Empire State Building into the bottom of Crater Lake and the very top spire would not break the surface. That's how deep the lake was.
Oh, what a wonderful image. All right. Well, I'm sure there are people, on this side of the country saying, oh, yeah, I'll see you your Crater Lake and top you with Lake George in New York. So, again, we want to hear from people. What's your favorite lake? And we're going to start visiting them over the summer. Joe Yogerst, travel writer and photographer. His recent book, 50 States, 5,000 Ideas, Where to Go, When to Go, What to See, What to Do. And a lot of it has to do with the lakes. Joe, thank you.
Thank you very much, Robin.